All right. Also, y'all be praying for David. He's running this whole project. And if you know anything about contractors, people that are construction workers, they are opinionated sometimes. And he's got to kind of round all those guys up. So we are proud that he's doing that. And if you don't know, he didn't tell you the whole story. The family, several years back, had their house burned. They were able to get something to replace it. But then the tornado that came through last year tore that down. And so we said, if we're going to help, we're going to help, right? So we just jumped in, and I'm excited about what God's doing through that. He's right, what we need when we need it. Also, today, if I'm going to go ahead and talk about the things that God's doing, today the deacons have their Connect box for Thanksgiving. If you want to put together a box for the deacons to pass out so that a family that maybe is in need can have a Thanksgiving meal, y'all grab one of these on the way out. They'll be on the yellow cabinet there. It just has all the supplies, everything but the meat, and we'll figure the meat out later. We'll either take a love offering. Sometimes we have that donated. So y'all grab this, put it together as a family. It's a fun time to go to the grocery store and think about somebody else other than ourselves on Thanksgiving Day. And so get that, and we'll get those gathered up. And last year, I think we took between 15 and 20, right? Can't remember the exact number. Do y'all remember? I don't remember either. We'll pass out as many as we get. And so the more boxes we have, the more families that we can help. And it goes to, like I said, families that are in need. Look, God's just doing a lot. Y'all be thinking about Christmas. Well, again, we'll be teamed up with Alpha and Omega Church. And so y'all be thinking about what toys you want to buy so that we can go with them and let them pass it out to their community so that we can help with their outreach. And so those are some things that you can get involved with. Luke chapter 13 is where we're going to be today. We're in the parables. However, today I'm going to put parable / illustration. Can we do that? Because it's kind of a mixture between the two. It's a parable, yet it's kind of an illustration. And Jesus is telling us in this one really what we have to do in order to enter into his kingdom. Now, this is one that maybe you hadn't heard as much. And again, I'm trying to get some parables that maybe we don't hear all the time. Because there's lots of things in the Bible that we don't always talk about. You don't have lessons on. You don't have sermons on. You didn't learn about it in Bible school. Okay? For example, our Wednesday night Bible study. We are going through the life of Joshua. We just finished it took 2 years to go through Moses. Now we're in Joshua. And I think it was the Wednesday before, we talked about how they crossed the Jordan back into the promised land, and God's first command was, line all the men up and recircumcise them. Man, that's not a story here in Vacation Bible School, is it? You want to know the name of the place? This is even better. Y'all ready? Yeah? The Hill of Foreskins. They circumcised them at the Hill of Foreskins. You don't believe me? Go back and look. It's crazy. And so there's lots of things in the Bible that sometimes we just gloss over and we don't look at, we don't talk about, but it's important. There is actually a big reason why God did that. It's all about his protection. If you want to know more about that, come to Bible study on Wednesday. But Luke chapter 13 is a story that maybe we don't hear as often, and part of it is because we don't understand the culture. So we're going to walk through that. We're going to talk about it, but let's read it first. Luke 13, starting in verse 22. It says, when Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching the people, he was on his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, try very hard to enter through the narrow door. I tell you, many will try to enter and will not be able to. The owner of the house will get up and close the door. Then you will stand outside knocking and begging. You will say, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you. I don't know where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and we drank with you. You taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you, and I don't know where you come from. Get away from me, all you who do evil. You will weep and grind your teeth together when you see those who are in God's kingdom. You'll see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets there. But you yourself will be thrown out. People will come from the east and the west and the north and the south. They will take their places at the feast in God's kingdom. Then the last will be first, and the first will be last. All right, so we don't look at this very often because we don't understand the relevance of the narrow door. Because for us, a narrow door, you know, Like if you put a wide door in your house, it's 36 inches, right? That's what we think. And a narrow door could be. That's not what this is talking about at all. In this culture, their houses would kind of be open during the day. You have to remember, it's before air conditioning. Okay, so they would have these big doors that they would open. And during the day, people would kind of come and go. It would kind of be a place where people could just walk in on you, kind of like in the old days, walk in and visit. You see this when Jesus was in people, when Jesus would go and eat with people in their houses, the lines would be the walls would be lined with people watching them eat. Remember, looking through the windows, that kind of thing. And so the house was open during the day. Not a lot of privacy during the day. It's just, it was open. But when it started to get, or the sun would start to set, started to get dark, they would close these big doors. They'd close the windows. But in order for someone that maybe got trapped outside, in order for them to come in, they made another door inside the big door. They made a smaller door in that door. And they could open the small door, or the narrow door, for someone who was trapped outside to come in. Okay? Because you don't want to be on the streets at dark. Nothing good happens after 10, right? Some of y'all heard that. Some of y'all had your best times after 10. We know who you are, sinners. Anyway, so, but they... the door, and so the narrow there, and if you're trapped out in the middle of the street, then you would want safety, because that's when you would be robbed, that's when bad things would happen, and so you'd want to desperately be carried into the house, or be let into the house. So they had these small doors, and what they would do is, if it's somebody that they knew, they could knock on the door, and they would scream, "It's me." You know, anybody have that aunt, that mom that just opens the door and screams, "It's me!" Yeah? Yes, a few of you. And so that's kind of what they would do. They would knock and they would scream, "It's me." And if the person recognized them in their voice, they would open that small, narrow door for them to be let in. Now, when I say small, narrow door, it's cut inside the door, so you actually had to step into it and duck down to get through. It wasn't something that you could easily get through, because you have to think it's there for security. And the reason why it's so small is maybe somebody has you at knife point, maybe sword point, and they have you and tell them that it's you, and you're just trying to get access to the house. And so if it was a large door, they open the door, and you just rush in right behind them. And so that wouldn't work. It has to be a narrow door, small door, that it's almost a struggle to get into, because as you would get in, and then if you were trying to, a robber was trying to get in after them, you would have plenty of time to attack them before they got in your house, okay? Some of the doors were so small, in order to get in, you would have to drop everything that you carried. You have to drop your backpacks and your packs, because it's just that narrow. You have to squeeze through the narrow door. If you've ever been to Rock City, Fat Man Squeeze, they still call it Fat Man Squeeze? Yeah? I was just wondering if they were politically correct yet. All right, so the overweight man squeeze. Anyway, so the Fat Man Squeeze. So you have to kind of get through there, and you couldn't carry anything in. And so with that understanding, Jesus is telling everyone in this culture that there's this man who had shut the doors, and there was a narrow gate, and there was somebody knocking at the narrow gate, and the man wouldn't let them in because he didn't know them, because you wouldn't let strangers in at night after dark. You would send them away. If they wanted to visit you, if they wanted to come and see you, they would come in the day, but at night, the strangers couldn't get in. Okay, so this is the story. So what does this tell us? First, it tells us that there is a way to get in to the house when the door has been shut. I want you to think about Noah's Ark. Okay, you remember when the door was shut? God shut the door. And when the door was shut, nobody was allowed in. It was shut. It was closed. The time of judgment has come. It had already closed. And in this picture, there's the idea of the door closing, and there's judgment, and we're trapped outside, but that there's a way in. And pointing to this, that Jesus is this narrow door. He's the one that gives us access to the inside of the house. He's the one that gives us access to safety or salvation. He's the way in to the Father's home. And so faith in Jesus is the narrow door. Other places it said this way, that there's a broad way and many people find that. He says, but then there's a narrow way, this narrow gate, and few people find it. Okay? And so this broad way is the way that we go. We think we understand. We think it's our opinion. We do what's right in our own eyes, as you would see in the book of Judges. It says everybody did what was right in their own eyes. It doesn't matter what we think is right. That's the broad way. Our way is the broad way. The narrow way is Jesus Christ. So faith in Jesus. But it says even more than this. It says try very hard to enter through this narrow gate. So try very hard to enter through the narrow gate. So what is it saying for us? It's saying that we have to understand what faith really is. Because in our culture, especially in our culture, faith is really misunderstood. For us, in our culture, a lot of times people believe that faith is just saying, yes, I'm a believer. Or they say, I said a prayer, walked an aisle, I got baptized, I got dunked, I'm good, and then they live their life however they want to live their life, and they think that's faith, but that's not faith. Really, that's deception, and we'll get to that in a minute. That's not what faith is. And so, what is faith? We're going to put a lot of Jesus in this next sentence because faith has a lot of Jesus. Following Jesus is faith in Him, or in Jesus. Following Jesus is faith in Jesus. What does that mean? When we follow Him, that declares or shows our faith. Not just declaring His name, okay? It says we have to confess His name with our lips, but we also have to believe. And that belief drives us to follow Him, to live like Him, to be like Him, to talk like Him, to feel like Him, to want to be like Him more every day. This is what it is to have faith in Jesus. Now, my favorite illustration of faith is an airplane. I get how an airplane works. I understand the way that the wings are designed, that the air pressure on the bottom of the wings is greater than the pressure on the top of the wings, and so it gives it lift. I get that, but it doesn't make sense to me. Anybody with me? How does this big piece of metal get into the air? Nobody thinks that when you're on the plane? Because I think that. I look out going, how does this work? It shouldn't work, and what if it stops working while I'm up here? Yeah? Anybody scared to fly? Yeah? Y'all know they say that landing is just a controlled crash, right? That's what they say. That should help you feel good. But y'all really should sign up to go on missions and fly on a plane. It's okay. It's all right. But for me, I don't get it. I mean, I get the science behind it, I understand, but I still, when I look at it, it doesn't make sense to me. But even though it doesn't make sense, and I understand how the figures and all, I get it, but for me to look at it, when I'm there watching, and as those big pieces of metal take off, I'm thinking, man, that doesn't seem possible. Here's the difference, I think, between what true faith is and what our culture says that faith is. There are so many people that say, yes, I know that a plane can fly. Yes, I know I want to travel. I know where I want to go. I've gotten my bag. I've packed my bag. I've marked my bag some funny way so everybody knows that it's mine when it comes around that little conveyor belt. I got that. I've even bought a ticket to go where I'm going. I've even gone to the airport and I've gone through security, but then you never get on the plane. This is what our culture does. Our culture says that you can pack your bag, you can go to the airport, you can go through security, but if you never get on the plane, you're okay. That's what faith is. That's not what faith is. Those things lead up to faith, but you don't have faith until you sit down in one of those seats, strap that buckle, pull it tight, and say, wherever you're going to take me, I'm going. Amen. This is faith. Not understanding how it all works, right? You can spout off kind of how it works, like we sang today. I don't understand it. It seems too great for me. How is this even possible? We can do all that, but at the end of the day, we don't completely understand all of it because God is just too big, but we're willing to strap ourselves in Him, strap it down, and say, wherever you go, wherever you take me, I'm going to go. This is what it means to follow Jesus, to have faith in Him. And so He said, these are the ones that can come in. But this parable is really more about those who are on the outside. He says, I don't open the door for strangers. And so the door will not be open for strangers. In fact, they knocked on the door and they said, "Let us in." They even begged, and he says, "I don't know you and I don't know where you come from." And then they said, "We ate with you, we drank with you, you taught in our streets." And he says, "I don't know you, I don't know where you come from. Get away from me, all of you who do evil." Other places Jesus talks about this too. He says that there are people who did all these things in the name of Jesus, but in the day of judgment, they were excluded. He says, "I never knew you. Depart from me." And so how is this possible? Well, it goes back to our illustration. They never had faith in Jesus. They went to the airport. They bought their bags. They packed their bags. They bought the ticket. They did everything but get on the plane. They've done everything but get into Jesus. They've done everything but follow him. They said a prayer. They've walked an aisle. They've been baptized. But they don't trust him. Here's where their trust is. Their trust is in themselves. That's why you don't get on an airplane. That's why we're scared, because we trust that our feet will support us better than those plane wings will. And the reason we never truly put our faith in Jesus, because we trust that our ability will serve us better than the ability of the God Almighty. But he says, "I can't open the door to strangers." Because the door is Jesus Christ. Jesus even said that in other places. He said, "When I call the sheep and the sheep are rounded up and they're put into the corral," it says, "I am the door and no one gets past me." And so what does he mean by the door? At that time, the sheep would go into the fenced in area. There would be an open place where the gate is. The shepherd would lay down there or sit there. In fact, that if he went to sleep, he would sleep there. He was the door. If something was going to get out, it would have to go through him. If something was going to get in, it would have to get through him. And so he's the door. The only way someone could get into the house, into the pen, into safety is through Jesus Christ. He's the narrow way. There's no other way.
Amen.
C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said that Jesus, he's only one of three things. He's a liar, he's a lunatic, or he is Lord God Almighty. That's your only choices. Because Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." So if he said that, either he knew that he wasn't, so he was lying. He thought he was, but he really wasn't. He was a lunatic. Or he really was God Almighty. That's your only three choices. You can't just say that God was a good person. Okay? Because if he was crazy, he's not that, you know, he's crazy. If he was a liar, he obviously wasn't a good person. The only way that we can say that he's good is he really was Lord and telling the truth. If you need something to read, get some C.S. Lewis. He's incredible. And so he's Lord. The only way to Christ is through, or the only way through God the Father is through Christ, the narrow door. No stranger will be let in. So why are there those people who say, "We ate with you and we drank with you and you taught in our streets"? And why would Jesus come back and say, "I don't know you. I don't know where you have come from"? Why is this possible, or how is this possible? Well, it's possible because there are some who were deceived. We've been talking over the last few weeks, or months actually, about this deception that Satan brings. Satan brings deception this way. He takes God's word and he twists it just enough so that he takes the power and the meat and the meaning from it, and then you live a life that you think is powerful, but it's actually powerless. You think that's faithful, but it's actually sinful. He did this with Eve. First trick, said, what did he say to Eve? "Did God really say?" You remember? Twisted just enough. Just enough. And the way he does this in our society is he twists it just enough this way. He says, "Wouldn't God want you to be happy?" I'll just go ahead and tell you, there's no passage in Scripture that says God wants you to be happy. He wants to have joy, he wants you to have peace, but he wants you to have joy and peace in the middle of suffering sometimes. There's no promise of happiness. And to declare Jesus as Lord is to declare that his truth is truth without any twisting. But Satan will twist it and say, "Doesn't he want you to be happy?" And we all know, okay, we all know someone who lives a life according to a twisted word, right? A twisted word. And Satan twists it like this. You know God's a God of love. He wouldn't want to send anybody to hell. You've heard that. That's just a twist, isn't it? Is God love? Yeah, he's love. Would he send anybody to hell? No, that's why he sent Christ. He doesn't want to, but if we don't place our faith in the narrow door, then we have no hope. He provided a way, it's just not us. It's a twist. Just a twist. Just enough. Oh, God would want me to be happy. There's lots of marriages that have been broken up that God wanted to stay together because God says there's this covenant, wants the covenant to stay together, and we even make that covenant until one of us lays dead, until death do us part, however it's mentioned, there it is, and we have this twist. Wouldn't God want you to be happy? You're miserable in this marriage. Wouldn't he want you to be happy? That's just a twist from Satan, isn't it? We have to decide, are we going to live according to the broad way, which is our own thinking and understanding, our own opinion, or are we going to live according to the narrow way, which is the thinking, the truth of God, our opinion of the truth of God, which one brings joy, which one brings peace, not our way, but God's way, the narrow way. It's strange that... And I'm just going to make an observation, okay? And you decide yourself if there's a correlation. The further that we as a culture get away from God, the greater depression and anxiety increases, or the more it increases. Yes? Is there a correlation there? You decide. The further we go down our own path where we think our way is correct, there's more anxiety, there's more unforgiveness, there's more division. Is there a correlation there? I would think there is. Our way leads to unity. It leads to life. In fact, Jesus says, I came to give you life, and not just life, but life more abundantly. And then he turns around and he says this about the thief, which is the world, Satan, the powers of sin, says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We believe the lie of a thief that's coming to steal our joy, and we live according to the truth of the thief, thinking it's going to bring us happiness. And we reject the Creator's voice, and we reject His voice, saying the thief knows me better, the thief understands this world better, the thief loved these people better than you do. And the whole time, the thief just wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. There's this delusion, this deception that's going on. Now, here's the good part, okay? So we'll leave on a good note, okay? So there's a narrow door, and that narrow door is Jesus Christ, okay? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to be narrow-minded, okay? People are going to make fun of you. People are going to give you a hard time. People are going to whatever. It doesn't matter. In order to get through the narrow gate, in order to get through the narrow door, you have to take your backpack. You have to take everything off to crawl through to get through. You can't go on your own, in your own merit, with your own belongings. You go through empty-handed, knowing that He is the only one that brings salvation. The only way you do that is through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ is following Him, doing things His way, thinking His way, having emotions His way. Otherwise, you're a stranger, and then this deception comes in, believing that living on the streets safer than living in the house with the Father. But here's the good part. It says there will be people from the whole world. It says at the end time, He says, if you look at this feast in 29, it says, people will come from the east and the west and north and south, people from all over the world. Man, I love this. Can you imagine people from all over the world? We see later in Revelation, from every people group, every nation, every tongue, all these people from all over the world, from different backgrounds, united finally. And it's surprising what they're united under. They're united under the banner of the King. The thing that everybody says causes disunity is the thing that unites the world. They come from all over the world, and they're singing to God the Father, to God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But here in Luke, it tells us that there's this feast that's going to take place, this wedding feast, this the feast in God's kingdom. And it says, the last will be first and the first will be last. Can you imagine this scene? I want you to go with me just for a minute to this scene where we see. Now, I'm convinced that we in the United States, we won't be first because we're first now. Okay? I don't know about you, but I've never really been hungry. Anybody ever really been hungry? No, I've never really been thirsty. I've never really been persecuted for my stance. I've never gone to prison for my beliefs. Any of those things. So, but we're first in everything, so I think we're going to be last. But I really think there's going to be other people who have gotten this, okay? They don't have anything in this world. They don't have any possessions. They don't have any money, any power, any position. All the things, by the way, that we're deceived by. Because our culture tells us those are our gods, that money and possession and power, those are our gods. We are a nation of idolaters. We worship lots of other things other than God. Some of us worship our bank accounts, our possessions. Some of us worship our kids. Like, worship our kids and our... Who sets your calendar and who makes you spend your money? Whatever sets your calendar and wherever you spend most of your money, that's your God. But there are these people that don't have any of those things. They don't have, just got back from Belize, and the believer there, she was 81 or 82. And just this massive growth across her forehead. And it was skin cancer that they just don't treat. It just continues to grow. Open. Sores, oozing. But the first will be last, and the last will be first. Man, what an incredible picture this is going to be. Where maybe this lady that has had to live with this condition for such a long time, maybe she shows up at this time and God says, you've suffered so much, you come on up to the front of the line. Amen. Or somebody who has spent most of their days starving. And do you know most of the world eats rice for almost every meal? I asked Alyssa one day, I said, hey, you think we could eat rice just for a month to just kind of see what the world's... She said, no. And I was hoping that's what she would say. Because there's just so much you can do to rice. It's just... But that's what they eat. Can you imagine rice? And then finally, as they die, but because they place their faith in Jesus Christ, this narrow door, he says, why don't you come up to the front of the line? Amen. Man. And this whole parable for me, I know it sets this idea that God is such a hard, and some people say a wicked God, because he's telling people you can't come in. But he's like, I have this narrow gate. And if you were one of mine, I would let you in. The problem is you're not one of mine. You're like, well, how do you get to be one of his? You just become adopted. Look, we do the same thing. Is there people that are in your life? Do you just have an open door policy, like your door's just unlocking, you just tell the whole world, you just come in anytime you want. Drink anything in there you want. I got red Kool-Aid, I got Sprite, whatever, sweet tea, Milo sweet tea. That's my low sweet tea. I know you like it too, but it's mine. Anyway, so I can't drink it after 6 anymore, though. It keeps me awake. I'm at that age. But you don't just tell the world, just come in your house. Like there's very few people in my life that just can come into my wife walks in because it's her house too. But then there's 3 of them. It's 3 kids, okay? That they don't own anything. And they just walk in, eat what they want, sit where they want, throw things where they want. Just use up, just, you know. Why? Because they're my kids.
Amen.
This is the story that we see here. The reason that these people that come from the east and the west and the north and the south can walk into this place of safety in this feast is because these are children of God that have entered through the narrow gate. It's not that he's this exclusive God where he's saying, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell, you're going to... He's not doing that. He's saying, all of you. He wishes that none would perish. He says, I wish none would perish. My hope is that everyone would put their faith in Jesus Christ. But the problem is the way is broad, and many find it, and the way is narrow, and few find it, because the way that is broad seems fun. It seems like it will lead to life, and it's my own opinion, and I get to tell everybody what I think, and I get to be loud. I get to show my behind, because it's mine. And over here, it's a narrow way. It's not your opinion. It's God's truth. I don't get to spend the money that I weigh out, the way that I want to spend it. I don't just get to go out and do whatever I want with my money, because I realize it's not my money. God gave it to me, and I get to steward it. It's not mine.
Amen.
I can't make decisions on what jobs I take and what jobs that I want. I'm not planning on leaving or moving, but if God does, then I get to go. I have to go. You remember what we said, deceived? Some of us are so deceived that we make decisions not according to the Word of God or the calling of God on our lives, but according to this, what pays most? We follow our idol, the almighty dollar, way more than we follow the call of God. Well, which job pays more money? We say that all the time. Well, then take that job. That's crazy. We're teaching people to follow the love of money. The narrow gate. The narrow gate. Here's the question. Where are you? Are you on this broad path where you think you're right? And on that broad path, it's such a broad path. You can be right, and you can be right, and you can be right. You can have 2 plus 2 is 4, and 2 plus 2 is 6, and 2 plus 2 is 8, and all of you are right. It's the broad path. The narrow path, that's a much harder path to walk. Because Scripture says this, that you have to wake up every day. And every day, it says, I have to deny who? I have to deny who? Myself. I have to deny my emotions, and I have to deny my opinions. I have to deny my wants. And then it says I have to take up my cross, and then I do what? Follow who? The narrow way, the narrow door. If he's Lord, then the only way of salvation is to do what we just saw, is to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, no matter what anyone says, no matter what anybody says about us, talks about us, persecutes, whatever, we follow him.
Amen.
We speak like Peter. He says, Jesus looked at Peter and said, are you going to depart from me? He said, where else can I go? There's nowhere else. There's no one else that has these words of life. You're it. You're the only one. Now, for the believer, you've already trusted Jesus. You've walked through the narrow gate. Here's the question. Do you have idols in your life? Do me a favor. Everybody, just kind of close your eyes just for a minute. Y'all are tired of looking at me anyway. Just close your eyes. And let the Spirit just spend some time with you. and answer these questions. Like, who sets your calendar? What takes your money? And then there's some of us that are believers that we've believed the lie that, man, if we go down our own path, that we're going to end up in this place of bliss. I want to challenge you. From what we see here and what Jesus has said, when you go down your own path, your own desires, your own wants, your own opinions, are you more angry? Are you more bitter? Are you more depressed? Are you full of more division? Like, are there people that you can't stand, that you just hate? You're like, I'm going down this path. I thought it was going to lead to happiness. But here's the thing. You're believing the lie of the thief. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy everything in your life. And the more you go after these broad paths, the more angry and upset you're going to be. I would challenge you. Jesus says, everyone who is weary and heavy burdened. This is what Jesus said. He says, if you are weary and heavy burdened, he said, come to me and I'll give you rest. Other places it says that if you are wore out, that you come to Christ, and it says he will restore your strength. Other places it says, as we follow Christ, that we will have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Still, other places he says, if we follow Christ, that we will have joy in the middle of suffering. What's the Spirit showing you? Is he showing that you're lost and you've never entered the door and you're on the outside and you need to enter in through the narrow gate? Believer, the ones who've come through, is he telling you, is he showing you that you have idols in your life? Believer, is he showing you that you've gone down this broad path of your own opinion, your own will, your own desire? Here's the good news. Y'all can stand as I get here. Y'all go ahead and stand. Here's the good news. Just like the son that went and spent everything, all he wants you to do is come home. That's it. He just wants you to come to him. He wants you to come home. Lord Father, I pray for each of us here, those that are far from you, those who are out on the street with no safety. Lord, I pray that today would be their day, the day that they become a child, the day that they're adopted in. Today they enter through the narrow gate. Lord, I pray for believers here who have placed their faith and run from you. Lord, that today would be the day that they cast off all these things and they run their race. God, I pray against the deception of this world. I pray that eyes would be open. I pray that scales would fall from our eyes and we could see the truth, that the deception of this world wouldn't bind our hearts and our minds against you. The world wants us to hate you. Lord, let us cling to you.
Let us understand that you are the only one that brings life. We may not like what you say because our flesh is sinful and evil. We may not like what you say, but we will follow it because we know that our heart, our emotions are more deceitful than all. Teach us to sit down in you and buckle that strap and say, wherever you want me to go, I will go. Whatever you want me to say, I will say. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. And let us look forward to that feast where we can celebrate with our brothers and sisters from around the world. Lord, you are a great King. The altar will be open if you want to come and pray, if you want to just unload, if you want to unburden today, you can do that. If you want to make Jesus your boss, your Lord, your Savior, you come see me. I'll be here. Brandon will be here. We can't save you, but we will show you the way to the one who can. It's Jesus Christ, the only name. You respond as the Spirit moves.